I've just felt led of the Lord to really just build up the church and to edify. And, you know, we've been shouting these last couple weeks, and we're going to shout again today. I think sometimes we just need that. How many believe we just need it sometimes? Amen. Look at somebody and say, I need it every once in a while. Amen. We need some good preaching. Turn to Luke 21st, Luke 21, 25 through 28. 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 There's a big difference between teaching and preaching. It's a big difference. Preaching is inspirational, and it brings inspiration to us. It energizes us. It gives us zeal and impacts us in a different way than teaching does. Teaching tends to be deeper. It tends to be slower. It tends to be more insightful. It tends to have more depth to it. And there's a reason for that, because it's line upon line, precept upon precept. And so many people are familiar with teaching, and many churches do a lot more teaching than they do preaching. And that's fine, but the Bible says this. It says that a pastor is to be apt to teach. And what that means is that you better be able to preach, but you better learn how to teach. So every preacher should know how to preach. Now, what's sad about this is that the church is so... They're not familiar with it. And then you start preaching, and everybody kind of goes, you know, this kind of blank stare at you, or they get a little nervous because you might run, jump a little bit, hoop and holler, and, you know, leap and, you know, all that stuff. But that's preaching. Preaching is inspirational. Amen. I noticed at the basketball game last night when South Carolina was coming back, and they were down 14, and all of a sudden they had that 14-point spurt, that the crowd was going crazy. You know why? Because they were inspired. So don't get upset because of inspirational preaching. Amen. You may be new here, and you're just getting into, you know, you've never even been in a church like this where we raise hands and people do sing like this. And, well, we just express ourselves to God. And we expect to be touched by God when we come to church. How many of you know if you stuck your finger into an outlet on the wall, every one of us would have a different expression? Nobody would react the same. Some folks would go cry, and my little girl, she'd just start crying. My little boy, Stephen, he's so loud, he would just be screaming all through the house. I don't know if I'd ever hear anything out of Brian. Brian would be like, he'd just stand there. He's just a different sort of fella. Today's his birthday. He turned 11 today, so y'all wish him a happy birthday. I didn't know he could talk till the other day. I took him on a ride, and all he did was talk. I thought I couldn't shut him up. He just kept talking. I thought, where'd this come from? You know, never seen that. So it's different. Be happy and engage wherever we are. Because if I come back and teach, y'all don't get bored and think, well, I got to go to another church. You're not preaching. Sometimes you don't preach. Sometimes you need to teach. Are you in the scriptures where I told you to go? Let me read them to you. Let me read what this is. This is just as I was riding in my car. As a matter of fact, I preached a great sermon Sunday last week, and the Lord had inspired me. And then all of a sudden, I'm on my way to Augusta to this meeting, and I hear the Lord say something to me, and I knew it was for today. I knew that God was setting me up for the next week. And, you know, being busy as I was, going out of town, God helps you out sometimes. So he gave me this word. It says, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars upon the earth, distresses of nations, with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts will fail them for fear, and for looking forward after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with the power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass. Now, when this is written, I want you to understand something. Jesus is looking into the near future. Jerusalem is going to be sacked. They're going to come in, and they're going to take the walls down and destroy the temple and everything about it. They're going to take on the Jews and massacre thousands of Jews at this time. There's this perpetuation or this going forward. Now, remember, the church has been birthed through Jesus Christ. And as we're looking at this, the church is immune. He's basically saying here that that even though this is going to go on and they're going to die and there's going to be issues, that God was going to preserve the church through this. And we can see that. We can see how in the moments that occurred that the church was always preserved. How many know God always preserves the church? I know you may think you're alone today and that you're all by yourself, and you may be on your job and you might be the only one. You might be surrounded in every cubicle beside you, and there might be every boss that seems to be coming against you, and it seems like every rule that's been made in the business was up against what you want to do. It seems like your belief system's attacked every time you turn around, but I want you to know something. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I have never, hallelujah, seen their seed begging for bread. Somebody ought to shout out amen right there. Say, God's going to preserve me. God's going to take care of me. God will cause me to come out all right. I used to play with one of those little, you know, rock 'em, sock 'em things, and they'd put sand in the bottom of one of these blow up things. How many know what I'm talking about? You'd put boxing gloves on and you'd get out there with this thing, and all of a sudden, you know, you'd start hitting on it and beating on it, and it'd be wobbling down, but it'd come right back up. It'd wobble down and come right back. And sometimes you could get it all the way to the floor, and when it got to the floor, it'd come right back up. You see, when you're a Christian, you're coming back up. Somebody ought to shout out amen. You're like a jack in the box. Twist me enough, I'm popping out of the box. Somebody ought to understand, God is going to preserve you. God is going to keep you. God is going to restore you. God is going to enable you. God is going to help you. God is going to feed you. God is going to heal you. God, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. God's going to take care of tomorrow. Somebody ought to shout out amen. If you're born again in this place, you might as well get up and start shouting now. I really meant that. Somebody stand up and give God a shout. Go ahead. Y'all help me preach this morning. Get ready. You go ahead and get your shout out. Go ahead. God's for you. God is for you. No matter what comes nigh your dwelling, it shall not come nigh you. No matter what affects folks around you, it doesn't have to affect you. No matter what tax and attacks come, it doesn't have to attack you. You don't have to go down with the ship. God has a way for you to get out of the ship. Hallelujah. Say, I'm coming out of this ship. Glory to God. Paul was in the middle of a boat and in the middle of a storm. He even told the men that owned the boat. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I perceive in my heart that there's much harm coming. See, as born again believers, they even knew and we know. You might can look at it and say, I see the signs of the times. You can see how the nation is going. You can see how nations are going. You can look and see how that there's different factions on the earth that are attacking Christians and killing Christians and beheading Christians and putting Christians in the middle of pools in cages. And you know the times. You know what's going on. You can look and see, but you just know this. It doesn't matter what the devil does. The worst thing he can do is send you to heaven. At the end of your journey is a blessing, no matter how it turns out. No matter where you end up, you're going to end up in good. Because he said, all things work together. Somebody ought to shout out amen right there. I know you thought that thing was so bad and so terrible and so messed up and so destructive and so hurtful, but God said, don't you worry, baby. I've got this thing. And when I'm done with this thing and I'm done with what you're going through, it's going to turn out to your good. All things. Somebody shout out. All things. Man, I'm starting preaching already. I'm about to run the whole building because I don't care what the devil brings. I don't care how many times he comes in. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I see because I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by the word of God. And God said he's going to bring me out every time. God said he'll never leave me and never forsake me. I don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of it. I don't have to stew. I don't have to fret. I don't have to get in depression. I don't have to get discouraged. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow. Hey, and I know he's watching over me. I take privilege in knowing that there might be afflictions. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, as I start preaching this, there seems to be a boldness coming on me. I feel like I got a little strut going on. It just come on me. Because when you talk about how good your God is, you start looking like David, who walked out there and said, who is this unclean Philistine? Who is this man that he should defy the army of the Lord? Who is? I feel like telling the devil, who do you think you are messing with me? Don't you know who my daddy is? Don't you know whose son I am? Don't you know? I'm coming up. I'm coming out. I'm going over. I'm not going under. They even knew. He told him, I perceive there'll be much harm come. All of a sudden, big storm came. They had to throw off the lading of the ship. But the Bible said while he was praying, oh, hallelujah. Thank God the fervent, effectual prayers of righteous men and women avail much. While he was praying, the angel of the Lord came in and said, don't you worry. Don't have no fear. The ship might be destroyed, but you're not going to die. I got news for you. The ship might be destroyed, but it ain't taking you out, baby. It ain't taking you under. You're not going with it. You're not going down with the ship. Just shout out, I'm not going down with the ship. See, the devil needs to understand something today, and you need to let him know. If God be for me, I just tell him, don't you understand, Mr. Devil? Don't you know? If God be for me, it really does not matter whether you're for me or against me. It doesn't matter where my boss is. It does not matter what the co-workers say. It does not matter what the lawyers say. It does not matter what the jailers say. If God be for me, I can be locked up in the worst situation and God is still with me. He's not going to leave me and he's not going to forsake me. He won't abandon me in my trial. He doesn't leave me when I'm in a mess. God's with me in the mess. He's with me in the trial. He's with me in the situation. I don't have to bow down. I don't know what anybody else is going to do, but I'm not going to bow down to this unclean Philistine. If it takes 5 smooth stones and a slingshot, Jesus will be my slingshot. Jesus will be my stone. If it takes a rod in my hand, Jesus will be a rod in my hand. If it takes the parting of the Red Sea, God knows how to part the Red Sea. He'll make a way where there is no way. He'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think, because there's a power working on the inside of you. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of God is on the inside of you. And greater is he that is in me. Somebody ought to finish that out for me. Greater, 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 greater. The greater one, the greater one. The greater one, the greater one. I'm preaching better than your shout. The greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. The one that's greater than death. The one that's greater than sickness. The one that's greater than debt. The one that's greater than financial challenge. The one that's greater than family calamity. He's the greater one. He's greater than cancer. Greater than a tumor. He's greater than emphysema. He's greater than a sore muscle. He's greater than a tumor. He's greater. He's greater. I don't know where you're focused today. I don't know what you're looking at, but for me, the Lord told me on Sunday what he told them. He said, when you see these things coming, look up. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I said. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Somebody in here needs to look up. up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. I'm looking for it to come. Where is it? Where's my blessing? Where's my healer? Where's my provision? I don't know about you, but somebody ought to be looking up right now. Where's my bank account full? Where's my taxes paid? Where is my school debt paid off? Where is my family healed? Where is my marriage miracle? Where is it? I tell you, God said, look up, Steve. Look up. I'm not going through anything. I'm living good. I told you that. But I know God's got not just what was going on, but he's got stuff that's going to go on. I'm looking for my next ministry part. What is the next call? What's the next direction? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He didn't say you had to look down at the path. It said look up at the light. Some of us are so focused on the path that we forgot the light. And we didn't know we had to turn left. Jesus is a cloud by fire by night and a cloud by day. He knows how to lead us and guide us in our direction and in our path. God knows exactly what I need. And he knows how to get me to exactly where I got to go. When the angel came, he didn't give him a path on the ground. He gave him a star in the sky. Didn't nobody shout right there. Didn't nobody shout. You're too busy looking down to look up. Some of y'all need to stop looking down. I found out something. You know, you can't look down and up at the same time. I defy you to try. I defy you. Just take one eye and look down. Take one eye and look up. Go ahead. Go for it. You can't do it. Ain't no need thinking if you're looking at men, you're looking at God. If your eyes are on the path down here, then they're not on the light up here. You got to look toward the light. He's the author. Jesus is the author. And he's the finisher of our faith. Somebody ought to shout amen. I'm not worried about what goes on down here because I don't walk by sight. I'm not walking on the path of this path. I've got another path. I've got a design that God has fitly joined to my life. God has a direction for me. And I just got to keep my eyes on Jesus. I just got to keep my eyes up here. I got to keep looking here because up here. Don't you let the stuff going on around you. See, they could have been caught up in what was going around them. But God had a way of making sure that he could deliver them. If he had to, I'll tell you what some of them had. They were moved by God like chess pieces all over the chessboard of life. And God just moved them around and translated them and moved them to different places. Listen to me. God is God and he'll always be God. He's God in the amen corner. He's God yesterday, today, and forever. He's God in your challenge. He's God in your situation. He's God when you're blessed. And he's God when you're not. He's God when you're up and he's God when you're down. He's God within and he's God when you're out. He was God yesterday. He's God today and he'll be God tomorrow. You ain't got to worry about nothing. The same God that was able to deliver the lion into your hand. The same God that was able to deliver the bear into your hand. He's got this thing. He's got this thing. He's got this devil. He's got this thing. He's got this big mouth devil. He's got this roaring lion. Don't you understand? The devil comes in like a roaring lion, and he's looking for whom he may devour. Just make up your mind. You ain't taking me out. You can't devour me. I'm not going down with this ship. God called me to be the head and not the tail. God called me above and not beneath. God said that I'm over and I'm not under. I'm not coming down for you. Who do you think you are? I don't have time. I'm like Gideon when I had to talk to Sanballat and Tobiah. I don't have time. I'm busy doing a work.
I got a work to do for God. I ain't got time for this mess. I ain't got time for this. I ain't got time. I don't have time to be down. I don't have time to be sick. I don't have time to be weak. I don't have time. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Oh, I just shout right now. Just take a minute and shout. Take a minute and shout. See, when you're a believer, you really believe this thing. You're not persuaded. He said, I'm not persuaded by things neither death nor life, principalities and powers, wickedness, shall separate me from my love for God. I'm not moved by this junk. I'm not moved if the car breaks down. God will get me a new one if he's got it. If the washing machine quits, God knows how to fix it. If he's got to get me a new one, he'll get me a new one. Just when you think, just when he thinks he's got you down, you're going to pop up, baby. You're going to pop up. I noticed when things were down, we looked down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our head drops. We feel frail. And we feel depressed and discouraged. That's what happens to our head. Our countenance drops. Our countenance is low. But as a born-again believer, we have to understand that we are never defeated. Look at someone and say, you are never defeated. Jesus said, this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's even my faith. I've got the shield of faith, and I can quench some of the fiery dart. What? 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 The Bible says I'll quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. There's not one arrow that can come and win the battle in your life. Don't you understand what I just said? The Bible says with faith we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Tell me what dart can penetrate the faith of God. Not one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things are possible to him that believes. Nothing shall be impossible to him that believes. You are well able to win. I'm reminded of when Abraham went down with his son. Great story. God said to him, said, Abraham, I want you to go sacrifice your son. I want to believe in my mind that Abraham's countenance was always a faith countenance. I'm sure he was tempted with this. I'm sure. As a matter of fact, I think that he was. Because this was a very tragic moment in his life. He was struggling with it. He was struggling in this moment. He was going to do it because God said to do it. And he loved God. He loved God and he trusted God. That even if his son had to be raised up, God would raise him up. Little known to him, God had already made provisions knowing that the answer would be provided when needed. Abraham had no idea that the answer was there. He was just simply going to follow through. I want to tell you something, believer. Listen to me. There's not one trial, not one difficulty, not one challenge, not one issue that's ever come to your life that God doesn't know about it. Not only does he know about it, but he's already made a way out. I wish you'd shout out amen. Look at somebody and say, my way's already made. My way's already made. He's already made a way. He's already made a way of escape. I might not see it right now, but he's made a way. When I walk up the mountain, I don't know that there's a ram in the thicket. I don't know that, but I know God's going to provide. Because my God has never let me down, and he is never going to let me down. He has never left me alone, and he will never leave me alone. I can count on God. And when I walk up that mountain and I'm trusting God because I can't see my way out, I got to trust there's a way out. Look at me and say, there's a way out. Folks, I'm telling you, there's a way out. There's a way out. God's got a way out for you. And so Abraham marched up that mountain with his sticks in his hand, he and his servants and his son. And I think it's interesting when he got up there, that God makes a statement to him. I want you to see this, or it comes out of his spirit. In Genesis 23:13, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Abraham lifted up his eyes. How many know he looked up? Somebody ought to shout out amen. When it was at its darkest and at its blackest and its bleakest, Abraham looked up. And when he looked up, because he must have been looking and having that feeling that we all have, when we feel like we're going through it alone and nobody's with us, God had a ram in the thicket. God had a prepared blessing waiting on him in the bushes. God had the bushes. Right there was the ram waiting on him so that he could sacrifice in place of his son. All he had to do was... Where is it? Where's my blessing? I'm not looking here. My eyes aren't down here. I don't need you to give me a blessing. I'm not looking to you to provide for me, because you're not the one who can supply all my needs. The Bible says, my God! Shall supply. When you get in your car today, I pray that this message gets on the inside of you. And when the devil comes in and tries to disturb you and disrupt you and depress you and discourage you and tell you you're not worth it and you're not able and you're not a bit, you can't do it, I want you to do this. I don't listen to the voices down here. There's a voice up here. The Bible goes on to say, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah. When he looked up, he saw the God of provision. I know y'all didn't get that right there. See, when you look up, you're going to see the God of your healing. When you look up, you're going to see the God that's more than enough. Woo! My God is more than enough. My God is more. He's not just enough. He's not enough. Woo, he's more than enough. Isaac and Rebekah. We find in Genesis 24, 62 and 67, and Isaac came from away the well of Labaria, and there he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went to meditate in the field at evening time, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she lifted off of her camel. Can you imagine? Whoo! Day is. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all didn't get that. My daddy used to tell me that I'd find her across a crowded room. I guess that was an old statement from back in the 50s or something. And he'd say, you know, the movies, they see her across a crowded room. And I used to think, what in the world is he talking about? I tried to date everything with legs. I heard that's what you had to do. Just date everybody. Date anything. Then you'll know what you want. Anybody ever heard that? I didn't realize you could. I had no idea. I thought you had to look here. Didn't nobody get that? I'm just real. I ain't faking it for nobody. I was looking at the parts instead of the hearts. I'm just telling you. That's all there was to it. I'm just telling you, I ain't lying to nobody. Somebody said you'd go to hell for lying. I'm not going to do it. Amen. I found out if you kept your eyes up here, you wouldn't be looking at the parts. I mean, no. I got to do that sometime in the prayer line. Some of y'all need to wear higher tops and lower dresses. He found his wife. God had put it in his heart. He never gave up on his dream. Folks, when you're looking up here, you never lose your dream. Because the dream doesn't come from here. It came from here. The vision didn't come from here. came from here. God's got just what you need. When I stopped looking for the natural, I started getting something different. And now I've got a wife and not just a marriage. God not only has what you need, He has what you want. He didn't give him some one-legged, cross-eyed, hairless woman. God gave him the desires. No, you didn't hear what I said. Because it came from here. Look up. From whence cometh my help? Look up this morning. Look up this morning. Bible says he gave him the perfect wife. The Bible tells us in Genesis 31, 7 through 14, the fathers deceived me. Jacob had gone to Laban's house. Jacob had been deceived and lied to. He'd been mistreated by Laban. And I'm telling you, at this time, Jacob must have been looking down, because here's what the Bible says in Genesis 31, 7 through 14. And your father has deceived me. He changed my wages 10 times. And God suffered him not to hurt me. I don't care how many times they changed the law. God knows how to preserve you in the midst of it. Didn't nobody shout amen? God will not allow you to be hurt. You belong to Him. You might be aggravated. You might be irritated. You might be frustrated, but you are not going to be hurt. Look at somebody and say, I am not going to be hurt. He will not let me get hurt. You can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. I wish somebody in this room needs to shout that out this morning. I just sense it. Somebody's having an attack, and they're feeling like somebody's coming after them with the blades out. They look like Freddy Krueger, right, ready to cut you up. But I'm telling you right now, you can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. God suffered him not to be hurt. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring staked that shall be thy hire, then here all the cattle had ring snaked. And God had taken away the cattle of your father, and he gave them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up. I looked up. Woo. Woo. I don't think y'all had a visual like I did. I see him standing there realizing that he'd been taken advantage of, and that he'd been lied about and lied on, and he'd been mistreated and misquoted and misspoken of, and folks had lied on him, and he'd been deceived over and over again. And then one day when he looked up, God had taken care of him. God certainly had watched over him. Oh, some of you thought he abandoned you. And he looked up and saw God had given him all of the deceiver's cattle. God doesn't just know how to get you out. He knows how to get you in. When the devil thinks that he's taken advantage of you and he's robbed from you and he thinks he's won, all you got to do one day is just... to look for my wife. Every time I do that, she gooses me. I got to be careful. that was really funny. You don't know what it's like to be walking around your house and every... Never mind. God redeems and restores. When others take advantage of you and hurt you, God is not blind. He ain't blind. He saw every word. He saw every moment. He saw every dark room. He saw in the rooms you weren't in. When people come up against you, God knows. And the Bible said God takes notice. I like that. You don't want to mess with me. Because God takes notice. Oh my goodness. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're shouting. I just tell you right now, God takes notice of those who despitefully use you. God takes notice of the folks that lie on you. God takes notice when they cheat you out of your money. God knows! And God repays. He said, vengeance! You ain't got to lift up your hand. You ain't got to fight nobody. You ain't got to stand your ground. You just got to stand up. Look up. Genesis 13, 14 through 17. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes. And I want to say this to you today. The Lord told me to tell you, look up. But from this perspective, I want you to get this. Certainly more I could preach, but we need to go home. Abraham stood out on a field. And as he stood out on this field, life had not given him everything he needed. He'd been fair to everybody. He'd given to others. He'd divided his flocks. He did everything he was asked to do. Was willing to sacrifice his son. But one day he's standing on a field. Some of these things happen before, some after. But one day he's standing on a field. And here's what the Lord said to him. He said, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. I've always loved that because we always want to get to the place that looks good before we start looking. Didn't nobody tell you to look from where it's good? He said, look from the place you are right now. See, in the midst of wherever you are right now, there's a horizon in your life that is not where you are right now. And there's something beyond you that is where God wants you to be, not where you are right now. And so when he told him to look up, he said, look up and look north. Look up and look south. Look up, look east, look up and look west. And look what he said to him. And the next verse says, for all the land which you see, if all you're looking at, that ain't much vision. It don't see far enough. It's not looking where God wants you to look. You can't see the mountains in the distance. You can't see the seas and the shores that are beyond you. All you can see is the pebbles under your feet. But God's got more than pebbles. He's got gold under the hills. He's got fish in the seas. Ah, somebody ought to shout out amen. And so I want to tell you today, this is my message for you today. This is my encouragement for you today. This is what you need to do when you leave this church. And every time you are tested to look at this. Look up. Look up. Look up. Start looking. Begin to scan the horizon of your life. Begin looking beyond your circumstances. I want to give you one last word. It's time to go to the gym. The Lord is my light. Oh, the Lord is my light. This is Psalm 27. Put it on the screen. Psalm 27, starting at the first verse. 1-7, the Lord is my light and my salvation. It's not somebody else. It's not something else. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this shall I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion and in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he'll hide me in his tabernacle. He shall set me upon a rock. And now, not tomorrow, right now. And now shall my head be lifted up. The way to get above your enemy is to lift up your head. Glory. See, lifting your head is a sign of victory. When you win, if you believe you're a winner in Jesus, this is your posture. Not this, this. Now we bow in reverence, but we lift up our head in victory. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. My enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. Stand up on your feet.